Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 10. So wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. John 10, beginning of verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt?" That is, in suspense. "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe in me, believe the works that you may know and believe, that is, understand that the Father is in me and I am in him." Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand, and he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true." And many believed in him there. The King James Version, "And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, 'John did no miracle, but all the things that John spake of this man were true.'" Struck by this, you know, what had John said about this man? What things had John spoken about this man? We know some of what he spoke. They're on the pages of the Bible. That Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus coming after John is preferred before John. That this Jesus, the Lamb of God, was somebody that John said, "I'm not even worthy whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to loose." And this, John 1, 29 to 34, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me,'" literally ranks higher than I, "'for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining upon him. I did not know him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Verses 35 to 36, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he said, looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Can only imagine what other things John spoke concerning Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. This voice crying out, crying in the wilderness, crying in a world of wilderness. And even this so-called, even the so-called religious, the religious crowd hearing the sound, for they had form, but no Jesus. Well, let's take in John chapter 3. John the Baptist exalts Christ. Pick it up in verse 22. After these things, Jesus and the disciples came into the land of Judea. And there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown in prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it had been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus Christ, the Exalted One. You know, isn't it all about the Exalted One? Isn't it all about Jesus being exalted? The focus today, back to the text, the King James Version, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all the things that John spake of this man were true. And the Voice Bible reads, Jesus crossed the Jordan River and returned to the place where John was ritually cleansing the people through baptism, immersing in the early days. He lingered in the area, and scores of people gathered around him, crowds. John never performed any miracles, but every word he spoke about this man has come to pass. It is all true. John did no miracle. John never performed any miracles. John, just a voice. Just a voice crying out in the wilderness. John, there he is baptizing in a wilderness. All the things that John spoke were true. Every word that he spoke about Jesus coming to pass. You know, I wonder, would John's ministry be enough to keep us? To have us stay, to rejoice in such. John was no miracle man, But every word he spoke of this man was true. Every word he spoke about Jesus came to pass. It was all true. So wonderfully true. John's ministry, a voice in the wilderness, repentance and baptism. The ministry, a ministry that would prepare the way for Jesus, prepare the way for the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the miracle maker, the miracle worker. John's, a lackluster ministry? No. In no way. No miracles, but the clear preparation for and presentation of the Lamb of God. Keep speaking, John. Keep using the voice God gave you. Power of God in the sound. Anointing of God in the sound. Utterance and unction enabling the message pure, the message perfect, the message untainted, the cry in the wilderness heard. The cry the wilderness needs. The cry the lost need. And to heed, keep baptizing, John. The Lamb of God's coming. And the Lamb of God is on the scene. Church, don't ever think that being a voice in the wilderness for Jesus is lackluster. Don't ever think it's insignificant. Being a voice crying out, a voice of announcement, this wilderness needs the spirit of John the Baptist. What did Jesus say of John? Matthew 11:11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John, no miracles. It's how it needed to be. John, no miracles. It's what it needed to be. Jesus would be the miracle maker, the miracle worker. And you know, Jesus wouldn't baptize anyone. He never did. John 4:2, though Jesus himself didn't baptize, but his disciples. No baptizing, except later on with fire, the Holy Ghost. John, no miracles. You know, I know that the Lord works miracles using his ministers, even using his people, his saints, his followers, his disciples. So what's the big deal? What are we getting at? John, no miracles. You know, this shows us it's Jesus. It's Jesus' power that makes miracles happen, not man's. Never lose sight of this. Never go delusional. Never go rogue. You know, sometimes the flow of ministry, kingdom, life, and expression gets to the head, and the spirit gets messed up. Pride can set in. And so on. John, no sign, no miracle. It's the way it needed to be. People of God, it's a picture of roles and recognition of such. An acknowledgement, a statement, a truth never to be forgotten, never to be trifled with. Even John's voice and his baptizing was only because of the anointing and appointing of God. John knew it. He said, I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness. He didn't think more highly of himself than he ought. He didn't promote himself. He didn't point to himself. He didn't speak of himself. He wasn't pushing himself. He wasn't pumping himself up. He knew his place. He knew his role. prepare the way for Jesus. John 1, 6 to 13, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Listen, it's only a right that he can give. A right only he can give to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So beautiful. Sent from God, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He's saying, I'm not the light, I'm just a voice. Bear witness, bearing witness, this preparation, preparing the way for Jesus. Isaiah 43 to 5, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, I think of a wilderness. Of the wilderness, and there are many wildernesses represented here today, this day. And the Lord would send us. The Lord would send men and women sent from God, come for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through them might believe. And when we speak about Jesus, when we declare things about Jesus, we must remember to speak the things that are true about Jesus. Nothing short of the truth and nothing beyond. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Jesus doesn't need us to pump him up. Jesus doesn't need help with his rep, with his reputation. Jesus needs no help in this because Jesus is perfect. There's none greater than Jesus. And so what we need to do is we need to speak the things that are true about him. No embellishment. You can't embellish perfection. Nothing short of the truth. And never make him out to be less than he is. Or less than he stands for. Something he isn't. Or someone he isn't. Narrow road, narrow gate. All the miracles belong to Jesus. Glory, where glory is due, and never stop. We can't ever start thinking the power is of us or of man or men. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We can't let the enemy or the compliments and commending of others get to us, and however and to whatever this speaks today. Keep it pure. Keep it Jesus. All the exaltation belongs to Jesus. You know, I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal strap. No one is. Good enough for John. Good enough for me. We cry, behold, our lives are everything. Crying, behold. Not us, but crying, behold. Look, take notice of the Lamb of God. The believers beyond the Jordan the text, and he went again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. The Message paraphrase, he went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized and stayed there. A lot of people followed him over. They were saying John did no miracles, but everything he said about this man has come true. Many believed in him then and there. You know, Jesus takes them back to the scene where John was baptizing at first. Jesus cares for those that prepare the way. He honors those that prepare the way. John played a key role in the history of the Messiah, and we all have our role. What we see here is that Jesus goes back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and he stayed, and the Bible says that many came to him. A coming to Jesus, where it all began. The Living Bible, beyond the Jordan River, to stay near the place where John was first baptizing, and many followed him. John did no miracles, they remarked to one another, but all his predictions concerning this man have come true, and many came to a decision that he was the Messiah. A prophetic voice in the wilderness, and it all came true. The NLV, many people came to him and said, John did no powerful work, but what John said about this man is true. Many people put their trust in Jesus there. You know, is not the greatest miracle salvation? Behold the Lamb of God. He didn't say, behold the Lamb of God who's going to heal your body. He didn't cry out in the wilderness, behold the Lamb of God that's going to load up your bank account. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away sin. Can't lose sight of this. Listen, Jesus is everything. He's Jehovah Jireh, he's provider, he's Jehovah Rapha, he's healer, he's Jehovah Shalom, he's peace, he's Jehovah Ro, he's a shepherd, he's everything, but we can't lose sight of a voice crying in the wilderness. And listen, this world is a wilderness. And so we're crying out, we're not embellishing. Jesus needs no help. He's perfect. You can't embellish perfection. I'm not trying to make him out to be more or less. He's perfect. But what people need to hear is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Because you could get healed and not have your sin taken. You could adopt the principles of tithing, even the world does, and see that it does work. But the greatest miracle and the greatest need is that sin be taken away. And so John cried out, behold the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Many people are putting their trust in Jesus there, the very place where John began. You know, I don't think it's by mistake or simple coincidence that Jesus went there. Lead the people beyond the Jordan. Lead the people across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, where he cried out, proclaiming the message of the Christ, the good news of the gospel. Jesus leads the people there back to this place, back to this first place. And many put their trust in Jesus there. He didn't head to some new place. He didn't head to some greater place. He didn't lead them to a new place or a greater place. Was there a greater place? A greater place than the place of gospel proclamation? A greater place than a place of hope in the wilderness? Everything Jesus did had a purpose. The divine intent of the Christ, everything that Jesus does has purpose, and so Jesus draws near to the place where it all began. Where the announcement rang out, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Again, the voice Bible, Jesus crossed the river and returned to the place where John was ritually cleansing the people through baptism. In the early days, he lingered in the area and scores of people gathered around him. The crowds, John never performed any miracles, but every word he spoke about this man came to pass. It's all true. In that place, many believed in him. Jesus knows. Jesus sees. He sees the place of every John. He knows and he sees the labor. He knows and he sees the fervor. Keep on, because Jesus is coming. Keep on, because Jesus is here. The Bible says he lingered. He lingered in the area. You know, amazing things happen. Incredible things happen when Jesus lingers in the area, when he lingers in the place. And Jesus knows the place. Jesus will come and the people will gather around him. But first things, first love, beholding. Behold the Lamb of God. If there be no miracle, remember, it's all a miracle. And the miracle maker, the miracle worker will show up right on time. You know, it doesn't say that Jesus did any miracles in the area. Did he? What we see is that Jesus went across the Jordan and the people came to him. I'm sure they had seen miracles, and they had. But here Jesus is taking them back to the place of beholding, back to the place where it's all about him. Back to the place before the signs and the miracles. Back to the place of first love. Back to the place of just Jesus. Many believed him for signs and miracles. Many just wanted what he could make happen like miracle food. But how many want him just because he is who John says he is? Would that be enough? If he just took away your sin. Just Jesus. You know, perhaps we need to follow Jesus, gather to Jesus beyond the Jordan, back to the place of first things. Simple things. Though they are anything but everything. You know, it's the place that many believe, and that's what I love. Many believe in the simple place, the place of beholding, the presence of Jesus. In the presence of Jesus, they don't need other things. They don't need signs and miracles. They just need Jesus because he is everything that he's been said to be, the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God. Now behold the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born into sin that I might live again. The precious Lamb of God. The Philip's New Testament, then Jesus went off again across the Jordan to the place where John had first baptized, and there he stayed. A great many people came to him and said, "John never gave us any sign, but all that he said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in him. You know what the Bible says? Matthew 12, 38 to 42. Another account. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up." This is quite the words. "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Jonah preaching, John preaching, repent at the preaching. The message of the cross is power. The Queen of the South came to see Solomon, to listen to his wisdom, to drink in the wonder of his kingdom, to bring him gifts, to linger where he lingered, just to be in the presence of the king. And a greater than Solomon is here. Isn't the presence of Jesus enough to keep us coming? Well, signs and wonders. Are signs and wonders bad then? No. Of course not. Did people believe because of the signs and miracles Jesus did? They did. Nothing wrong with this, simply highlighting something amazing this day. And it can become about the works and not so much the worker of the work that is Jesus. And it can become about the works and the worker of the works that is the little W worker. I recall reading of Smith Wigglesworth. Many of us will know he was used in just an incredible way in the realm of healing. Miracles, signs, and wonders, an avenue for the ministry of Christ. I share these words with you. Wigglesworth never claimed any glory for any miracle of healing, only wanting Christ to be seen. He scorned the acclaim of men. In fact, he said on one occasion, God had spoken to him and said, "Wigglesworth, I am going to burn you up until there is no more Wigglesworth left. Then only Jesus will be seen." As far as Wigglesworth was concerned, this had happened. He never wanted to be seen. I will never forget the last time I had fellowship with him. We were sitting at the table in his home. It was 1 week before he died. Looking at me with tears in his eyes, he said, "When are you going to move into a realm that you have not yet touched and get going for God?" He went on, "I am an old man, 87 years old. I may not look it, I certainly don't feel it, but you cannot argue with the birth certificate. It tells me I'm 87. So I have to accept it regardless of how I feel about it. Today in my mail I had an invitation to Australia and Ceylon and to America. People have their eyes on me. People had their eyes on me." Then he sobbed as if his heart would break. Poor Wigglesworth, he wept. "What a failure to think that people have their eyes on me. God will never give his glory to another. He will take me from the scene." I thought, my God, if this man is a failure, what am I? 2 days later, my pastor, Mr. Richardson, went to be with the Lord. His funeral service was to be held exactly 1 week after my visit to Wigglesworth's home. Three of my brothers and I were asked to be pallbearers at the funeral. We sat on a side seat at the front of the church, which was filled to capacity. When Mr. Wigglesworth entered, all eyes turned to look at this erect figure as he walked down the aisle to sit next to the front row. My father, who had come to the vestry to share the pulpit with those taking part in the service, was joined there by Mr. Wigglesworth. He watched as this sprightly figure left his seat and ascended the steps into the vestry, more like a man of 60 than 87. When inside the vestry, Wigglesworth kissed my father and inquired about my sister, who was ill. As my father was replying, Wigglesworth stumbled forward suddenly. My father put out an arm to steady him, then gently lowered him to the floor, but Wigglesworth was gone. James Salter, who was conducting the service, walked out of the vestry and announced to the people, "I have to announce that my father-in-law, Smith Wigglesworth, just passed away." That was March 12, 1947. The congregation was shattered. Only a moment before they had seen him go into the vestry, he had no sickness, no pain. He just went home. A doctor whom I knew well was called to the church. Upon examining the body, he said, "What a fine specimen of manhood. There's no visible cause of death. It's just like a workman coming home from his work, taking off his coat and settling down to rest." I thought he described it well. A humble man. A God-fearing man, a man used mightily by God. You see, it can become about the works and the worker of the works, that is the little W worker. But not this man. He was not about himself, but his words, those words, to think that people have their eyes on me. God will never give his glory to another. He will take me from the scene. John, no sign. Maybe this is why the Lord had it that John performed no sign, no miracle. To have this serve as a reminder to us, to have this serve as a caution for us, a standard for us, a check for us. Remember who we are and remember who Jesus is. Should he grant divine things, we are simply the avenue. The ministry is Christ. Come out beyond the Jordan. Come out, cross over to where it's simply about Jesus, where Jesus is the sign, the only sign needed, where Jesus lingers, this our constant resort. Keep speaking, John. Keep preaching, John, a voice, clean and pure. Stay humble. You know your place. Keep telling them about Jesus, preaching about Jesus. Keep announcing him and calling a wilderness world to behold the Lamb of God. John 5:35, he was a burning and shining lamp. The Wycliffe Bible, he was a lantern burning and shining. He was a lantern burning and shining or giving light. The voice Bible, the voice of John the Baptist, the wandering prophet, is like a light in the darkness. The voice of John the Baptist, the wandering prophet, is like a light in the darkness, and for a time you took great joy and pleasure in the light he offered. Philip's New Testament, John certainly was a lamp that burned and shone in the Amplified. John was the lamp that kept on burning and shining to show you the way. And you were willing for a while to rejoice in that light. You know, what rejoicing that there are burning and shining lamps, lanterns, torches in this dark world, showing people the way. And Jesus is the way. The way, the truth, and the life. You know, the worship team returned today. You know, John had the right heart. John had the right spirit. John had the right conviction. John had the right attitude. John had the right view. John had the right perspective. In a world that cries, "I must increase," John had it right. It can even be that way in the kingdom, you know. I must increase. John 3, 30 to 36, he must increase. Jesus must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony is certified that God is true, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John, no sign, no miracle. You know, the words are there for a reason. Believe in the Son. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away sin. First things first. The place of first things. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Born in sin. And he born into sin that we might live again. Can't you hear it? I'm so thankful the message is still going out across the planet and in the nations. It's pure. The simplicity in Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Maybe we need to come back to the simple place, to the place where it's all about Jesus and all about beholding Jesus. Do you know that he's most glorified when we are most satisfied in him and with him? Just with him. Jesus is center of it all. He's the attraction. And if we've lost the attraction, there's a problem. I only go to church when there's a carnival. Yeah, you know what the problem is? Churches started having carnivals. Nothing against that. But there are some that only show up for the carnival. They're not there for Jesus. And we can talk about many examples and many things. But how many, even in our city, will just show up to church next week, whatever church it might be, because of Jesus? Because of the presence of Jesus Christ. Simply to show up, to behold him. The presence of Jesus, you know, it's not for everybody, but Jesus knows, and Jesus knows the heart. He sees what's going on inside. We can't fool him. Yes, the presence of Jesus is home, I understand. And thank God for the presence of Jesus in the vehicle. The presence of Jesus as we walk the street. The presence of Jesus as we work. But there's something about the gathering of the saints. And it said many gathered. I just love the picture. Jesus just leads them across. Jesus walks and they follow him just because they want to get into the presence of Jesus. Isn't his presence enough? Maybe we've lost it. First love. He would call the church back. The place where it's just about him. All else fades away. You know, there's an old song we used to sing, Heart of Worship. And there's a story behind the song. It just became about a whole lot of other things. And so the author, it's quite the story. I don't have time to share it all. There was a season where they just kind of, they shut things down. And then God gave them a song. When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. Burn much deeper within the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.